So we've established there is an issue of also a guru, right? The Gemara has two dinim associated with it. We pose the question, are those two dinim, first of all, both true? Seems like from the Rambam that they are both true, not necessarily a machlokas one or the other. So assuming they're both true, should we say that they are two separate dinim derived from the same pasuk, of Avshavaklalus? Or should we say that, no, that they share a common principle and they're simply two applications of the same din? As Tamir suggested, maybe the idea is that when you can make a difference to somebody's resolution, to the successful conclusion of din, and you are sufficiently involved, and it's not just that in a general sense you can make a difference, but you actually know the right answer and are in a position to bring that right answer about, then there's an issue of osa guru. Yes, sir?
So what's the difference today if it's a lavshakalos or if it's like two applications in one idea?
It's more, for our purposes right now, it's more just in terms of understanding it. In terms of understanding what together the issue is. Let's assume right now that we're not necessarily looking for a practical nafkamina per se, but rather just for an understanding nafkamina. So, but we'll see, it might be more of it than that. So, we then discussed a few other questions that surround this in terms of how to understand what other factors contribute, and we noted at least two other possible sukkim that have relevance here, Midvar Sheker Tirchak, and the idea also of Tzedek Tishbot. Now Rashi, if you notice, put Rashi in one of the combos, right? Rashi on Chumash. How does Rashi sound in terms of whether this is one Isser or two Isser? Anyone recall? What does Rashi on Chumash say in this pasuk? Tamir?
Sounds like two different ones.
Right, Rashi presents it as two possible interpretations, which makes it sound like it's two separate ideas. If you look at the Sifcha Chumim there, he has a discussion about this, but that's also a relevant part of the discussion. And we started to talk also about the question of why it should make a difference in terms of what it is we're afraid of. Rashi sounds like we're afraid of the din switching, which is very interesting because it doesn't sound so much like that's explicit in the Gemara as the concern. The Gemara talks more about the concern of the judge withdrawing, and that withdrawing seems to be an issue. When you phrase it as a concern that the din will be switched, that seems to intensify the problem. And we brought that up in the context also of understanding could it possibly be that this somehow becomes a din that is a hard value. So let's try to advance this discussion a little bit. So in terms of why it is that there's a difference when there is the stage of knowing already where the din is going, which Gemara clearly brings up, why does that difference exist? So Tamir's suggestion is well taken. Did you take a chance to look at the Sma and the Taz? What do they say about this issue? Can we get a chance to see this? Right, the Sma says that the issue is that since the pasuk continues by going ki amishpat ve'elokim hu, that justice is God's. So therefore, once you already are at the stage of mishpat, it's basically not your prerogative to decide you're going to leave it. Then you have to carry it out. And the Taz questions this. The Taz questions it just textually because it says if that's the nature of the Isser, so our Gemara should emphasize that part of the Pasuk, which it doesn't. That's really where the concern is coming from. But also there's another issue, that there's an exception to this rule. Right, what's the exception? The exception in the other way that says that you're not allowed to withdraw even before the Nithiyas Adin?
You haven't heard it yet, or you haven't seen where it's going.
But so in those circumstances, there's someone who's not allowed to withdraw. Right, our Gemara says you can withdraw at that point, but the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam bring an exception, right? Morty, what's that? the Mamun al-Rabim, right, the Mamun al-Adin, the guy whose job it is. So we discussed a little bit yesterday why that might be. Right, that maybe it's because the alternative is then to say there's total hefkeris, because they're not going to handle the tough people, so no one's going to handle the tough people. And maybe that could give us a little bit of perspective of why it is, so to speak, Yehud Vayavar. But that itself calls into question the Sfila. And because if we're going to say this is an exception, so it doesn't work so well with the Smaz idea, right? That's when you have Mishpat, and therefore now there's Nisr. So why is it different for the Mamun al-Rabim? Now, you could say it's different simply because it's a different din. And maybe this concern that we just mentioned, that you're going to have a Wild West, that's what gives us an issue. And therefore, it's not really connected to this additional thing. In other words, you could say there's two different types of situations where you can't withdraw. One, you can't withdraw once it's reached a certain point. And also, if you're the sheriff, you can't withdraw because without you, you have the Wild West. For a whole different reason. But you could say they're the same din. Right? How could you say that they're the same? Think about this for a second. Right? How could you say that these two requirements are coming from the same place? Right? Just to restate, the idea that someone who has heard enough that it's about to reach the point of decision can't withdraw that. The idea that the professional dying can't withdraw at any point, how could those both be the same thing, Max?
Because they're both the general key of going after MS. So if you know, if it's either your job or you basically know. So
see, that's interesting.
You're still on the train to say, I gotta make a decision.
Okay, that's interesting. I mean, there's truth to that, I guess, by definition. But I was looking for something a little bit different. I'm trying to think whether it's different enough, whether it's the same as what you're saying. Maybe try to sharpen it a little bit, okay? Try to sharpen it like this. That they're both about going after MS, that who has to go after MS?
You have to.
Who's
you?
You?
Me? You?
The dying.
The dying. Oh, okay. So maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Right? So that's essentially what the Taz is leading up to.
Yeah.
Right, that maybe this Isser doesn't seem to necessarily include everybody, but it includes a Dayan. So when do you become the Dayan? So you could become the Dayan at two points. Either we could say that if you're a voluntary Dayan, your status only becomes committal when you've reached that point where you really know what's going on. And until then, you're not fully a Dayan and you can pull out. But if you are the professional, this is your job, so then, yeah, you're obligated from the beginning. Then you're not allowed to pull out at all. So that's an interesting distinction. It's also very interesting, and this is an issue that we've raised a few times, is to what extent should we connect the various Gemaras that have come one after each other here on this daf. And so we had a Gemara about the Dayan who says Eini Yodea, and a Gemara about Pshara, and now a Gemara about Lo Saguru. So do these just happen to be next to each other? Are they tangentially connected? Are they more fundamentally connected? So it's interesting, specifically this point of once you know where things are headed, that's come up in the last two sugyas, right? It's come up here in the sugya of Lo Saguru, and it's also come up in the sugya of Pshara, even though ultimately the psak in the case of Pshara was that even at that point you can make a Pshara. But highlighting that stage might be relevant in terms of just ascertaining when Chiyuvim solidify. And when, as a Dayan, we'll say you're not allowed to pull out, and maybe we'll even hesitate to say you can do a pshara, even if you possibly do something in the end, because maybe you at this point have a greater fear to actually bring things to a good conclusion. So let me ask you the following question. And this is probably a very fundamental point. And this is an issue that was asked by Valio Bakshi Daron. You're familiar with that name. And he was the Sephardi chief rabbi of Israel two rabbis ago. And is the author of the Tshuvas Binyan Av. And he discussed this in an article, which I don't think appears in his Tshuvas because it came out very recently, in the journal Shaarei Tzedek. We mentioned that journal a few months ago when we were talking about Rav Schechter's article about malpractice by doctors, which was in the first volume of this journal. So the most recent volume of this journal, it's volume 16, there's an article by Leo Bakshi Daron. So he raises the following question. So first of all, he also discusses the question that we've asked before about whether these Yisurim of the Talmud not holding back and of the Dayan now withdrawing if there are one Yisur or two. But related to that, he asks another very basic question. The Yisur of Osa Guru, is that an Yisur ben Adam l'makom or ben Adam l'chaver? What do you think? And how would you formulate either possibility? Okay, so those are all good questions. So, Max, you want to start with this? I said, what's the nafkamina? So, we have to figure out what the nafkamina is. So, first, let's just try to see how it might affect our understanding.
So, it's been on the Malcolm ceiling going to Rashi. I think it's the voice who said that you should be afraid of people. One of those, like, if you're afraid of people, you'd be afraid of Hashem. Like, this is a struggle with the show fear of people. So, sort of take away from your aggressive
mind. Wow, see, that's interesting. That's okay. That's twice in a row. You said something interesting, which I'm looking for, but it's definitely interesting. That's a whole different spin on saying it's a ben adam l'makom, because it's definitely worth mentioning. It's definitely coming from a totally different direction. You hear what Max is saying? He's saying that maybe the whole thrust of Losa Guru is to say that, like we find the Gemara has that comment about why a Ganav is worse than a Gazel. Right? The Gemara tells us the reason a Ganav who steals something secretly has to pay kefel, has to pay twice if he gets caught, while a Gazlan only has to pay the keren, only has to pay the principal. So the Rambam has a different explanation of that then, but the Gemara tells us that the Ganav is worse in a sense because the Ganav is scared of people but is not scared of God. He makes sure to hide from people but doesn't worry about the fact that God will do so. While the Gazlan, okay, he's crazy, he doesn't care about anyone. So Max is suggesting very, very interestingly that maybe the whole thrust of Loso Guru is that when you get involved in Din, so you have to recognize that your affiliation and your concern should be to God and not to worry about people. And that if you're going to prioritize your fear of a human being, you're basically saying that you're more afraid of him than you are afraid of God himself, which is a very interesting spin. I was thinking a little bit something else when asking if it's been out of the mouth. All
right? I mean, it says right after that, so apparently the law is considered God's, and by disturbing the law, you're disturbing God's, what God's plan was, what God's law is, and therefore that's a sin in a mouth.
Oh, so that's a little bit more what I was thinking of, but again, Max's point is very well taken. But that you can understand it that way, that this is a part of God's requirement that you impose emes in the world and figure out the din, and therefore that's really something for him. This is your mission from God, to impose din in this world. Alternatively, you could say it's a ben adam l'chaver, or do you want to comment on that? Yes, sir?
Din is in order to make a society, one of the reasons for din is in order to make a society whole, and by not having judges who are judging appropriately, you are creating a bad society, and whoever's the Olim can take over, and it's fine for society, so it's been a problem.
Okay, broadly speaking, Jacob, you want
to... I was going to point towards the kafara aspect of punishment.
Uh-huh. Assuming they were talking about din where there's punishment involved.
Right.
Right, which is not necessarily our context.
Okay.
But okay, but you're saying
yeah,
so. It's all ultimately for your own good.
Right.
Right, so
if
that's...
If you're not judging, then you're not affording in the kafara.
Okay, well, the truth is, without going to kafara, if you want to focus on what you're saying, the Gemara does say that when you lose, we mentioned this a little bit in the context of Shara, came up there also, that the Gemara does say that when you lose in din, you should be happy, because you have somebody else's property, Shaloka did, so they did you a favor by removing this from your hands so that you shouldn't have to have gezel in your hands. So that's a possible perspective, but you could also just say it a little bit more down to earth, that the victim needs your help, or the person who's being robbed, or the person who is really right in this story, so he deserves to have his property returned to him. And that's what you're doing, so you're doing this on his behalf. So that's itself an interesting consideration. So let's talk for a moment about how any of this might affect the possibility that this din is heard by Yahweh, that we kind of left off on yesterday, and we'll probably get to the same point today. Let's talk about that a little bit. So why should it be that this din would be Kibbul Yahweh by Yahweh? We'll see in a moment that it's a big machlokus, if it really is. But if it is, why should it be? And what happened to Ein Dover Omei Bifnei Pikuach Nefesh? So, we mentioned yesterday one possibility, that maybe if it's about finding truth, so we do find elsewhere that that has a certain sacrosanct status, right? We mentioned that Rashi especially seems to intensify the issue by saying the pressure is that you may flip the din, which would really seem to undermine truth. But this idea perhaps is most especially understood if you say that it is a benodim l'mar, and that essentially that's the way that you have to uphold truth, the same way the Marshal is often quoted, even though it may also be disputed, but is often quoted as saying that Ziyuf HaTorah is considered to be a Haribo Yahweh. And this represents the Torah. Is something that we can't do even on pain of death. So all of that is maybe consistent with seeing it in that sense, that it is a ben adam l'makom kind of principle. And the Shvos Yaakov, who has a position on this l'chumra, the Shvos Yaakov understands that maybe that's the whole chiddush, that when the Torah comes to say, lo sagru, so essentially it's saying that this is not a normal din, and that here the Torah is going out of its way to say normally you have the right to be scared. Normally if somebody is threatening, this is something you're allowed to worry about. If someone says, I'm going to hurt you if you're not Machal Shabbos, and you think he might kill you, so you're supposed to listen to him. But here the Torah is Mechadesh. No, lo sagru. Don't be afraid of the guy. Maybe that's the whole nature. Now, is there a svara at all to say it's a haribah yavor if it's benodim
l'chaveiro?
To save people from their problems. Right? If somebody is being exploited, if somebody is being victimized by somebody else, you need din to resolve disputes, which is itself benodim l'chaveiro, but also especially if there's a victim in a dispute, so you need to save the victim. Right, Yisrael?
The case is that we gave him an option to back out, but he chose not to take it at that point.
So he's like the fireman who signed up to be a fireman, so now that's his job. Although it's not always true. It depends on what stage, and it depends also if he's the Mamuna or not. But, but you could say that this is like any other dangerous job where basically you sign up for it. So once you sign up for it, right, the same way even in America, where we don't have the draft, but if a soldier deserts, you could be in huge trouble. And you can't say at that point, I'm scared, because once you're a soldier, so the job means you have to follow through. So maybe it's the same kind of logic by a dying. Maybe. I think, again, that would probably be true also in contemporary society. You mentioned yesterday that if it came out that a judge was messing with the results, and then even if it also came out that his family was threatened. So I don't know how much that would mitigate the scandal, and part of it would probably be because, okay, it's understandable that he's afraid about this, but that's what the job entails, and then if you are vulnerable to that, you don't take the job in the first place. It's all speculative, saying that that's the kind of reaction you would get, but I think there's probably some truth to that. Hi?
You said, when we were doing Kasubis last year, I think you said that the case of better to jump into a fiery furnace than to embarrass someone in public,
right. That
there's a possibility that that could be, because it's been on the Lucavera, it could possibly be included in the Iron Valley God Board.
See, it's interesting you mentioned that. I wonder if it's a little bit of a mixed memory. Because last year, for those of you who, for some reason, forgot to be here last year, so we were learning Kasubis. So the second half of the year, we learned that Gemara about better to jump into a furnace rather than embarrass someone, which is in the sugyas of Staka. But the first half of the year, we learned the second parak. And there's a Gemara that sounds like it's saying that Gezel is a Harry Avra. So I'm not sure if you're possibly combining them. I mean, they might have both somewhat relevant. But there is a Gemara that sounds like it says that you should not sign falsely on a shtar. And it sounds like, at least according to one opinion, that even if somebody put a gun to your head and said sign the shtar falsely, which will have monetary ramifications, you're not supposed to do it. So that's the whole discussion. Is there even a view that this kind of gezel or allowing gezel to happen is outside the track of the idea of in the Rome of Nepuach Nefesh? And maybe also you have to risk your life for. So I don't know if we have to go that far here. It could be. But it could be that even from a Ben Adam L'Chaveiro sense, like the svara that we mentioned earlier, that if you are the authority, and there's no one else who's going to be able to deal with this, so then you can't let the world just be hefker. So if you're the mamuna, so then you're the sheriff, so then it's going to be your job. Or if you took it on voluntarily, but you let it get so far that now you're the one who's heard all the facts. And at this point, if you pull out, then essentially there's no real path for resolution. Maybe it's a ben adam l'chaveiro. And yet still maybe this has a kind of do or die component to it. Marty?
Why is it true that if you took on responsibility and then left, why is that necessarily true that there's no like path for this to be resolved? Why can't they just go to another person?
They could. The question is, I guess, at that point, there's no person who's going to be more likely to resolve it than you. Because once it's not the only way for things to turn out, but presumably if this guy is now perceived as a threatening guy, so everyone else is going to be afraid to even deal with it in the first place, and you've already gotten to this point. So it puts you close to the situation of the Mamuna, it would seem. So this happens to be an interesting debate among Poskim about whether or not it really is Yehari Vayavor. What's very interesting in light of a comment that was made before is that Rabbeinu Yonah writes the Shari Tshuva. He actually adds this to the Maamar Chumash, the Shari Gimel, Lamed Gimel. Rabbeinu Yonah writes that one should not be afraid of anyone because Mishpat Elokimu, this is God's judgment, and Shluchei Mitzvah Mizoti. That essentially, this is maybe a twist on what was suggested before, that part of Emunah that's required here is that you should believe that if you're there to carry out God's din, He's going to protect you. So there's a discussion about this in a sefer that came out recently called Tshuvas Mishnas Yehoshua, which is written by a Sfari Tamachot named Rabbi Yeshua Chelo. He's written a number of svarim on Kosher Mishpat related issues and other Dayanus related issues. So he has a tshuva about this, and it's in the Hay, in the Tshuvas Mishnas Yehoshua. And he notes that if you follow Rabbeinu Yonah's logic, so then there are limitations because
Shluchei Mitzvah and Mizokin has limitations. So it doesn't apply, for example, if the danger has a chazaka on it. If it's clear that there's a danger with Shkia Chazaka, so we don't say Shluchei Mitzvah and Mizokin. So too, maybe this whole position, where the way Rabbi Yonah is understanding it, is if it's a generalized fear, like we mentioned yesterday, a possible distinction, if it's a generalized fear the person's going to hurt you, that's one thing. But if he's hooked up as a damaging person, so then maybe this logic wouldn't apply. So that's also interesting to keep in mind. Practically speaking, this was a major machlokes haposkim. So there were those who took this position, like the Shlosh Yaakov, that it applies even when there's a real sakana involved, because that's the Gilui of the Pasuk. And many others, a long list of others discussed in that Shuvah's Mishnah to Yeshua and elsewhere, who take the position that if it's a real sakana, you wouldn't say this. And that it only extends to where it's some kind of generalized fear, but if there's a real sakana involved, so then we wouldn't apply this. So he discusses this issue with Maisa in Mishnah to Yeshua. So he thinks that there's certainly enough to rely on if there is a real sakana based on these poskim, who assume that ultimately the din of pikuach nefesh does apply. He mentions there two svaras which he thinks don't really do the job. He says there are two other svaras that are evolved basically as a smach for a dying who's scared and wants to pull out. So he mentions two other svaras which he doesn't think hold water, but the other ones by themselves should be enough. So one, that the Menches Chinuch has an idea that Lo Saguru only applies to a dayan, like we mentioned before, meaning a dayan samuch. And since nowadays we don't have any smuchin, so therefore the din of Lo Saguru doesn't apply. So is that a solid svar? Or what possible issue could you bring up with that svar? So that's a clue that maybe it's not 100% solid. So, yes, Ari?
The Mimona is something he's included in this, and he doesn't necessarily have some code.
Okay, that's, we could say better than that, though. I mean, you're right. Take that further. You could say that the whole din shouldn't be in Shulchan Aruch when we don't have smuchim anymore. Right? The fact that the whole din is brought indicates that it does apply nowadays. Parenthetically, the little synergy chazar, he does go off to the issue of we have Shlichu Sayu nowadays, so what is the scope of Shlichu Sayu? But that's also possibly a reason not to make a distinction. And then he mentions another svar from the Sefer Tiferes Yaakov on Choshen Mishpat, that since we know that somebody who's a gay of a lover can't be an aid, and also can't be a dayan, so once he's afraid this guy is going to hurt him, so that's a negia, so therefore he can't be a dayan because of that bias. What's the problem with that svar? The problem with that svar would seem to be, yes, Judah?
I'd say that then you'd like almost contradict because you say that he's dropping out because he's scared.
Oh, so therefore it's circular?
Yeah, it's circular.
Okay. But that's interesting by itself. It's a little bit like Nigo, which is a whole different discussion. But you're basically saying that it's circular, that if you're going to say that any dayan who is worried that he's going to get hurt can't be a dayan, so then you're going to kind of by definition knock out the dayan. But the truth is, you could say it in a more powerful way, that it seems to undermine the whole din of Lo Saguru. Right? The whole point of Lo Saguru is that we're recognizing that you could have this bias of being afraid of one of them, and yet we're saying that that's not something you should factor in. So if you're going to call this bias, so then there's no Lo Saguru anymore. So he doesn't think that those are valid premises to work off of. But nonetheless, the idea that the Pikuach Nefesh is applicable here as well has the support of enough poskim. But there's an important question that we'll have to deal with tomorrow. What about if it's going to not result in your death, but result in sufficient monetary loss? Let's say they're threatening your property, which is also addressed in that phrasing the Rambam quotes, but what does it mean practically? So to what extent is that a valid concern? So that's one of a few details we'll try to fill in tomorrow as we also segue into other Pesach notes. All right, I wish everyone a wonderful day. It should be only good things. And we'll see you soon.